This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and we'll begin today with Massachusetts Democrats in Washington and reaction to President-elect Donald Trump's first moves as he begins to fill out his administration. Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions for Attorney General, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn for National Security Advisor, and Kansas Congressman Mike Pompeo to head the CIA. All Trump loyalists, all deeply conservative. Earlier today, we spoke to Massachusetts Congresswoman Catherine Clark about how the Trump administration is taking shape and what it portends for the future.
I think that what we are seeing is a continuation of people who were on the campaign and supportive. My real concern so far coming out of the transition, however, is the appointment of Steve Bannon as chief strategist. He is a person who is known for the propaganda he put forth at Breitbart. That included many anti-Semitic, racist, misogynist articles and conspiracy theories. And having him now set up to whisper in the president's ear is of grave concern, and I think it should be to all Americans.
What can Democrats like you really do about this, though? Because, of course, as White House counselor, he's not subjected to any kind of congressional approval process, either by the Senate or the House. So, I mean, what in effect can you really do?
I think the role that we have is to draw attention to who these people are, what they stand for, and to continue to hold President-elect Trump to the pledge that he made. He said he would now be a president for all Americans, and that's the pledge that I'm going to hold him to. And when he puts someone who has espoused racist, anti-Semitic, misogynist views, that is not living up to that pledge, and I think it is up to us to call him out, to make sure that the public knows and is informed of the background of the people that he's appointing.
I want to ask you, if I could, Congresswoman, the same question I asked your colleague Nikki Tsongas yesterday on Radio Boston. And it's this sort of fine line that you folks have to walk. And that is, you know, we know as a candidate that Trump revealed all kinds of objectionable views about women. He talked about banning Muslims from the country, forcing them to register. Now, as you've suggested, he's appointed Stephen Bannon as a White House counselor. So how do you walk that fine line between giving Trump the kind of open mind and chance to lead that Hillary Clinton talked about without normalizing the kinds of positions that many people find so frightening?
I think we have to be vigilant on two fronts. One, we have to make sure that he honors his pledge, that he becomes a unifying president. The first way we do that is make sure that he's respecting our Constitution and our Bill of Rights for all Americans. And second, if he does that, then we evaluate his policies, proposals, legislation, people that he's filling out his cabinet with on the merits, and we take a good hard look at it and put down some markers for what we want to see to lead our country forward and to build a strong, inclusive economy.
Mm. I'd love to ask you about the future of congressional Democrats, given last week's election results. There's talk of a need for real reform, new faces, new blood to lead your caucus. Your colleague, Seth Moulton, another member of Congress from Massachusetts, led a group of more than 30 Democrats requesting to delay party leadership elections. And yesterday, Congressman Tim Ryan of Ohio said he will challenge Nancy Pelosi to become minority leader. Ryan says Democrats need to reach middle America and blue collar workers if they want to come out of the political wilderness. Here's a bit of what he said.
Well, we keep losing. I mean, I think after Tuesday, and I think going back to 2010, and didn't win enough seats in 12, lost in 14, again, didn't have a good enough year this year. I think it's just time for a change. A
couple of questions. First of all, do you agree with that, time for a change? And would you support Congressman Ryan to replace Nancy Pelosi as minority leader?
I think that we have a couple of jobs to do. One, as we go forward as a party and a caucus, we do have to analyze where we are. And I think we have to do a better job of communicating our values to the American people. And, you know, how do we do that? We now have a race for leader of the minority party, and I think that's healthy. Let's have that debate. Let's have a race. Let's have people challenge with ideas. My support, now that we know who the candidates are, remains with Nancy Pelosi, because she has been a leader on the issues that matter to my constituents and matter, I think, to families across the country. At the same time, I am going to continue to push, and I have found great reception in our existing leadership, that we have to bring up new members of Congress who have different ideas, that we cannot become a stale caucus, that we need to have leadership opportunities for newer members while respecting that our seniority system addressed some real existing problems with promoting people of color and women within our caucus.
Let me follow up a little bit on this idea of looking for ways to bring up younger folks, newer folks into the leadership. And, you know, the Boston Globe ran an editorial this week questioning the Democrats' ironclad seniority rule, which guarantees senior leadership posts to the longest-serving members. The result is that you don't get new blood, young blood, in the party's leadership position. So is it time to change that seniority system?
I think we have to be willing to look at it and to also remember the history of where it came from. When members of Congress who were people of color, who were women, were unable to achieve leadership positions. And I think we have to understand that history, but also have the confidence to move forward that we are now in the Democratic caucus. We represent America. We have such diversity and the ability to really reflect our communities, our cities, and who we are as a country. And that is a strength.
Can I ask you just a really sort of basic existential question about how a Democratic member of Congress is thinking these days? I mean, obviously, the Republicans now control the Senate, the House, the White House. The Republicans over the last several elections have made gains in governorships and state legislatures. Massachusetts, obviously, an exception. But what's the message to Democrats who may be looking at this landscape across the country and thinking, wow, we are really on the way out here? I mean, it feels that way anyway.
I may have a different response to that than many. But if we are looking forward, I would rather bet on the Democrats in the long term than the Republicans. My basic belief is that the Democratic message is one of economic opportunity for everyone. And the way we put that in place is investing in education, investing in our infrastructure, investing in innovation and research. Those are the issues that Democrats work on and promote. And that is the vision that I don't see coming out of the Donald Trump campaign. I would be thrilled if he did a 180 change of course of direction and embrace that vision. People want a fair shot.
One more question, if I could, and this is about legislation that you're filing. You're filing a bill to ensure that the president and vice president resolve any conflicts of interest with regard to financial interests and their official responsibilities. Tell us why this legislation is necessary and what it would do.
Well, currently, federal executive branch employees, cabinet members, other high-ranking employees are prohibited from having participating in a government matter in which they or their immediate family has a financial interest. The president and vice president positions have always been exempted for that because of the complexity of the issues that they deal with. But it has become the history of modern presidents that they all have used some form of blind trust to voluntarily divest their assets. And what we're seeing in President-elect Donald Trump is a very complicated, very large business holdings. We know that there is at least one federal contract. There are loans from foreign countries, the Bank of China, Germany. But we don't have a lot of information because he never did release his tax forms. So we don't have as much information as we do about other presidents coming in. And what he is proposing is not to go the blind trust way, but to turn his businesses over to his children. And I think it is time in this day and age, especially with not only the risk of actual conflict of interest arising for President Trump, but the perceived conflict. And I think this is a common sense extension of what has become the voluntary practice of modern presidencies.
All right. Well, Congressman Catherine Clark of Massachusetts, thanks so much for joining us today. We're very grateful.
Thank you, Anthony.
And stay with us. After the break, we'll jump right into our Week in Review. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.